Welcome to the Murphy, Sam, and Jody After the Show podcast.
It's no secret to anybody that knows us personally or from the show here that we're dog people. I mean, Sam, you've got your best friend, Gus.
Yeah.
And Jody and I have four.
Right.
And currently. And I have a cat, too.
Oh, that's right. That old thing.
Huh? Yeah.
I'm joking. I used to love cats. I still do. We just can't have them.
You want one?
No, I don't. We can't have them. Our dogs chase cats, and our youngest child, Phoebes, is allergic. Anyway, so I have never been one to watch the Westminster Dog Show.
Oh, my mom used to always watch it.
Right.
That. In fact, they would record it and play it back later. I don't know.
Oh, that's kind of cool. Well, it's different. There's nothing else like it in the world, and we have a new winner this year. The first time that this particular breed has ever won, and I've never heard of this breed.
Passer Basset Griffon Vendéen, number 7.
The first petite Basset Griffon Vendéen won. And if you look at this winner, it just looks like a dog.
Yeah. Well, and the dog's name is Buddy Holly, which is a lot easier to remember than petite.
Sounds like a steak.
But let me see.
Passer Basset Griffon Vendéen.
I'm wondering he's got to be mispronouncing that because
you got to look at the way it's written because there is some stuff he's saying that's not right.
Right.
That last word doesn't match the way it's written.
It's petite Basset Griffon Vendéen.
Yeah.
Petite. I don't know why he said pate.
Basset, or whatever. Well, you know, people that speak for a living make lots of mistakes.
Well, this is the first time I'm hearing it too.
To point them out.
I'm certainly not here to judge, but as I'm looking at it, it says on screen, petite Basset. And it says Basset, which is...
I know, Basset. You know, to us, it's Basset. Well, anyway, so I've never heard of this breed. The trainer, his name is Buddy Holly. The trainer's name is Janice. Anyway, she said that she's been waiting for this her whole life. She's been training dogs her whole life, and he was the perfect one.
Huh.
She said that he's perfect for this. He won best in show because nothing bothers him. Mm. I'm thinking, everything bothers my dogs. Squirrels, bees, knocks on the door.
And I've seen dogs on these, you know, dog shows, these whatever you call them, they're not dog shows.
I guess they are
dog shows, but I've seen some that have been distracted over the years, and they have. It doesn't disqualify them. I don't even know that that's part of the judging process.
I think it is,
but I can see how a very well mannered dog that just presents itself in a way really impresses the judges if they're not distracted.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I've noticed about this too, if you're going to be the dog owner that's going to put a dog into Westminster Dog Show or one of these others, you have to have nice legs because the camera is going to be pointing right at you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You don't care about your legs at that point.
That's a prime spot for some advertising there.
One of my favorites that was in the top three. I know. This leg sponsored by, this shoe sponsored by. One of my favorites that they showed, if you watch highlights, like it was in the top three, was like a terrier. And it looked like my favorite kind of dog, like a pit mix or something like that. And I love those big blockheads. I love them so much.
See, that one, I mean,
gorgeous.
He looked perfect. He looked clean. He looked like he was walking straight.
He was standing up straight, too.
Yeah, he just looked like he was built for a dog show.
I know.
As opposed to Buddy Holly, who was like, you know.
But best in show is all around. Yeah. You'd have to watch the whole show to understand, I guess, why Buddy Holly won best in show. It's all around sort of a thing.
Last year, it was Trumpet the Bloodhound that won best in show.
Right, isn't that cool?
And it was the first year a Bloodhound had ever won.
Isn't that cool?
Out of 140 some odd years of doing the dog show.
You could spend your whole life learning about and studying dogs, and they are the most loyal companions. Yeah. They just are the most loyal companions. One reason I wanted to bring it up just because we love dogs, but we have a new one at our house. Her name is Hazel. We rescued her, right? And it's so funny. How long have we had her? A couple of months now, Murphy?
Yeah.
She's high energy, and we've told you a lot of stories about her, but we learned something about her this 2 days ago. It was so cool. We're sitting on the sofas just visiting. I'm sitting there drinking coffee, and I told Murphy, I said, you know, my favorite thing on the weekend is to watch her. When you first let them out in the morning, out of their crates and outside to potty, the other dogs go outside and they potty. She runs the perimeter of the yard, the fence. She runs twice, at least twice, just I don't know what it is. And then she'll potty and she'll run and get excited. But she always, it's like she's checking out her property.
Yeah.
Her territory, rather.
She's looking for birds or mice or something?
She's checking out her territory.
Yeah. I mean, look, we have fostered 45 plus dogs. We've had
over the years,
what, 12, 13 of our own. And this is the first dog that's ever done that. But this is also the first time we've had this breed.
She's black mouth cur dog.
Yeah.
And so I told Murphy, she also reminds me some of the things that she does are hound like because she's always got her nose down into something and she's always scouting something out with her nose too. And do you know, looked it up and it's interesting.
Yeah. I told you, I said, well, this is a perfect opportunity. Why don't we Google this and see. And so I start reading it, and exactly everything that Jody had said, you know, she seems like a hound. Well, you know what? She is a hound. And
she doesn't look like a hound.
That is exactly what curs have been, you know, used for. They're excellent hunting dogs. They're excellent herding dogs.
And like working dogs.
And they're also excellent vocal protectors. And she's all of those things. But I just thought it was interesting how you called the hound thing just like that. It's when I Googled it, it's almost like, did you read this before you told me this, Jody, or did you really know this?
Yeah. I did not read it before, but I've just been paying attention to her. I've never had one with her nose to the ground so much.
Yeah.
And another thing about her, she needs something to do. If she's awake, this is also why dogs like her get adopted and they get returned. And end up back in shelters because you need to know what you're getting into as a family and you need to know what kind of dog you're getting. She is a working dog, and I didn't realize that either when we rescued her. But she needs stuff to do or she would be tearing our house down when she's inside. So we have plenty of toys for her and they get thrown down and she's always picking it up and moving it somewhere and chewing it and walking around and moving it. Bless her heart, she is working.
Yeah.
She's doing things all the time. She would be great to train to do something. Now, we don't know what for us.
I remember a dog I had a long time ago was a mix of an Australian Shepherd and Red Heeler. And that's sort of a sheep herding type dog too. And you're right. It's one thing to anticipate, which you always should do. If a dog is under 3 years old, you need to keep in mind that really is a puppy. Their energy is still going to be puppy-like, even though they're not tiny anymore, and they're going to chew everything. And you're going to have to anticipate that the same way you would with human children, where you understand there are certain things they're capable of doing at that age, and there are certain things that they're just not. They're trainable, but you're not going to get that energy out of them. It's kind of like letting kids be kids. So you have to just set your environment up in the right way for that. That Australian Shepherd dog that I had, though, I didn't know that. I was at that time, I was living in an apartment that was 600 square feet.
Oh, that's already a bad idea.
And, and I did not understand the concept of I really need to get out and walk this dog every day because we'd had a poodle when I was growing up. She didn't need to go on walks. She went outside and played in the yard all day, but she didn't need to go on walks necessarily. But that herding mentality thing or whatever, that chasing
worker
thing is
dog.
Right. They're very active. They're constantly looking for something to do in addition to chew, I guess.
And what I was told about this girl that we adopted, Hazel, we adopted her right before she was about to be terminated in the shelter. She was on the list. It was her day.
Yeah.
She had been there a long time.
It was your friend Birgit that actually
said, hey, are you interested in this dog? And one of the things that they had written about her on that shelter's website was that she was shutting down. Well, she had been in a crated almost all the time because there's not enough volunteers to walk them and let them run. Mm-hmm. And so she was shutting down because she didn't know how to deal without being able to release her energy. And then on rainy days where we don't let her run the yard very much because she'll come in like a completely mud covered in the house, she has an even higher chew need. I'll throw a Kong her way and she will work on it for hours. Mm. She has to chew. And that's another thing. This is what we're witnessing with her is probably the reason she was returned to the shelter once. You need to know what you're getting into. Some dogs have a high chew need. That's why there's a whole section at every pet store with nothing but chews for dogs.
Yeah.
Not all dogs do it, but the ones who do it need to do it.
Yeah, I never knew that as a kid growing up. And I'm not really sure that anybody, people that people that raise dogs and, you know, and have worker mm-hmm. dogs and those kind of things. I'm sure they understand this, but average family, like, you know, when I was growing up in the 70s, mm-hmm. I kind of feel like my parents thought there was really one way to handle a dog regardless
any kind
of breed
dog.
Or
yeah,
any of that.
Yeah.
And
dog's a dog.
Right. And that's so not true. And I've learned a lot over time myself. For example, when Hazel is crated, she's fantastic. Once she does finally run out of energy, she calms down just like the rest of them. She parks it. She is just as
she's happy.
Calm and docile and happy as can be. And she will sleep all night long in the crate. And even when the sun starts to come up, she's not always making noise. But there was one point where she starts whimpering every morning. And when we first got her, I was thinking, I've got to train this out of her. She's got to stop this whimpering and whining. But now that I've watched her for weeks and weeks and weeks, I understand what that is, what Jody's talking about. It's the hound. It's the perimeter. It's the, okay, the day started. I need to check my territory.
I need
territory.
To do my job.
That's why she wants to get out. I mean, she may have to potty too. But, you know, I don't want to reprimand her for making noise in the crate because she's quiet all night. She loves her crate. She's not afraid of it. So that's not why she's doing any whimpering. And the other dogs are right by her also. Yeah. So you know, that's just me thinking that. But I bet that's the reason for that
it
because
could be.
She knows it's time to get out and do her thing.
And sometimes when a dog is in a crate and they're whimpering to get out, they want to, A, be with you because they're companion animals first and foremost. And the other thing is they may need to pee.
Mm-hmm.
It's very upsetting to them to go in their sacred space. Their crate is their sacred space. They protect it. You know, it's theirs.
Yeah.
And they don't want to mess up in it. That's why crate training works for potty training.
Right, yeah.
Anyway.
And this is definitely not even potty related because I know that because the first thing she's doing is not
running.
Going out and squatting. She's running. So
yeah.
It's got to be something about the...
my perimeter,
yeah,
my territory.
The perimeter, and what do you call the timing thing, the body clock thing? What's that called? I can't think of the term.
Body clock?
Rhythm?
No, circadian rhythm.
Circadian rhythm?
Yes, it's circadian rhythm is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
The other dogs follow in behind her when
no,
she does her thing?
They're like, let her do it. I'm going to sit here and pee.
She's got the perimeter covered. We're
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
She does. In fact, she protects our yard and door better than any of these other sleeping dogs do. They all bark and all, but nobody is going to get past Hazel.
Has she brought y'all anything yet?
No, just toys.
Huh.
She has not brought us any critters yet. Although she would, I feel that she's probably a great hunter.
Yeah.
Missed any part of the show? Get it all on the Murphy, Sam & Jody podcast.